calling this regular meeting of the Board of Trustees of Gunnethill Independent School District. Today's date is December 18th, 2012. The time is 6:10. Tony, can you please call roll?
Mr. Coronado?
And he did call in that he would be running about 10 minutes late. So.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Here.
Mr. Medina?
Present.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Here.
Mrs. Quintana?
Here.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Present.
Mrs. Charles?
Here.
And at this point in time, what I would like to do, if we could all have a moment of silence for the individuals that were lost in Sandy Hook Elementary School in Connecticut at this point in time. Thank you all. Can that take us to the next agenda item?
The federal agents.
And I have Maria Aida, if she could come in and lead us to the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Now the Texas.
Under the Texas flag, I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible.
Thank you. That would take us to the next item, which is a mission statement. If I could ask Mr. Medina, if you could read the mission statement into record.
Canantio ISD will provide a quality education to assure that all students graduate on time, are prepared for higher education, or are workforce ready.
Thank you, sir.
Item two is special presentations and board honors. Mr. Rebettes.
Board President Rodriguez, board members, Dr. Murphy, could you please join me here in the steps of the table? To mark her tenure as board president with this commemorative gathering. Mrs. Searles, please accept this gift on behalf of the students and employees of the Gunnethill Independent School District.
Oh, yeah, you got to come over here.
Go to the line.
Oh, no!
local Dr. Bird.
BQ never, as well.
BQ as well. Oh, I feel like I'm going somewhere. Thank you so much. Oh, she got that picture. Oh, I humbly thank all of y'all that you let me serve you and that I was able to serve you, and I thank you so much for the chance. You're the best board ever, and I say that with no reservations. I've never had such an honor as to serve with this board. Thank you very much.
Safety and freedom. That's why when the USO, the group whose purpose is to provide for our troops both at home and abroad, came asking for help in raising funds, our community came out in force. On Veterans Day last month, the employees of FMTEO were asked to make a monetary donation, and in return, they would be allowed to wear jeans during the work day. We didn't know how successful the Jeans for GIs program would be, but we trusted our employees. In the end, we were able to raise $1,080 to help support the USO's efforts. It's a great start to what we could what could be a long-standing tradition for CISD. Here tonight with us, we have a representative from the USO, Robert Medrano, the program manager for the US for the USO in El Paso. Could Robert please come up and accept a check from CISD? That the official Canateo ISD Christmas card features artwork done by the talented students of Canateo ISD. Each year, these students come up with new and inventive ways to show the world that in Canateo, fine arts matter. This year, it's Canateo Middle School's turn to show off their art skills. A contest was held to determine which student would have the bragging rights of being the designer of a Christmas card. Dozens of students entered, and three finalists were chosen. A panel of judges in the central office reviewed the materials and picked a winner. They commented on the artwork's obvious skill and the use of vibrant colors and classic themes. The card features teddy bear wearing a bow, waiting to be discovered on Christmas Day. Snowflakes fall behind him, and a bell hangs above him in order to ring in the celebration. Here is a rendering of the artwork. The artwork was featured in more than 1,000 Christmas cards that were printed out and mailed by the school district to its employees and friends. This is the artwork of Canutillo Middle School 7th grader Christine Ganza, who is this year's Holiday Card Art Contest winner, and she is with us tonight. With us tonight, we also have Canutillo Middle School Principal Dr. Reyes Garcia and our CMS art teacher, Ms. Bernal.
Okay, can you come in for a picture,
sir? What do you guys? Yep.
Congratulations, Christine, and members of the board, President Rodriguez, Dr. Murphy, this concludes board honors for this month.
Does your throat sort of, did you drink from all the singing?
kind of. The sad thing is, one of the sad things is that we got to miss our holiday performance because some of our high school choir members were sick, so just to correct that on that agenda item.
You don't want to sing?
No, I'm good. Titty, no. Tony, if that could take us to next agenda item.
Item 3A is annual board member continuing education credit announcement, Mr. Rodriguez.
Okay, and I'm here to report that all Canutillo ISD trustees have met and or exceeded their requirements for continuing education for the 2012 calendar year, except the newly elected trustee, Adrian Medina, who will be required to meet the continuing ed classes in 2013. The total credit hours, Mr. Coronado, 11.5, Ms. Gonzalez, 24.25, Adrian Medina, 3 hours, and Rachel Quintana, Ms. Quintana, 38.75 hours, and Patricia, Ms. Mendoza, at 39.5 hours, and myself being at 62.25 hours, and Ms. Searles being at 24 hours. So, Mr. Cornell?
And mine will probably go up by about, I don't know, 8 to 10 hours. I did not report my hours from the I will do that.
And President, Mr. Medina's new member board training occurs tomorrow.
That's correct.
And we will have him here all afternoon going through all of the departments and getting updates from all cabinet members.
Will he do the open meeting set?
That's by Region 19.
Actually, our public information office can provide that for Mr. Medina.
Okay. If there's any other questions, if not, can we go to the next agenda item?
Item B is 2013 Special Board Committee Assignments. Mr. Rodriguez.
And I have for Finance, Audit, Facilities, and Planning Committee, the chairman being Mr. Sergio Coronado. The other individuals on that committee is Ms. Lori Searles and Mr. Adrian Medina. Now, on the Policy and Instruction Personnel Student Service Committee, I have Ms. Leti Gonzalez being the chairperson of that, with Ms. Patsy Mendoza and Ms. Rachel Quintana on that committee. So those are the committee assignments, and if anybody has any questions, feel free to chime in. If not, I guess that could take us to the next agenda item.
Item 3C is Finance, Audit, Facilities, Planning Committee report. Mr. Coronado.
Mr. Chair, members of the board, we had a Facilities and Finance Committee meeting on December 11th. We reviewed the more important item on the agenda for that night was to try to get in budget our PK through 8 school. We discussed our architects, and thanks to our construction manager, Riss, and our team, were able to present to the district recommendations for bringing the PK through 8 into budget. There are some items that the committee changed or added our recommendations to the board that are on tonight's agenda to discuss, so that we can go ahead and finalize those items, whether to be included into the base bid of the PK through 8 campus. I think the committee felt that some of those items are better off being placed in the base bid rather than as alternates, because it would secure a better outcome in terms of the bids for the district, and therefore savings in the long run. And so those items will be discussed in the next agenda item on the base bid with respect to those recommendations. There are some alternates that were not included in the committee's recommendations. If anybody has any questions, we will certainly do that. But the major items that were recommended by the committee to the board included to expand, to have seating at one of the cafeteria gyms to be able to have competition in that one gym. What the committee felt is that we needed to avoid what similarly happened at Canadian High School. And it is approximately going to cost about $500,000 to expand that cafeteria gym to be able to have seating and have competition arena there for the kids. But in the long run, it will prevent us from having to build an over $200 in the future for it when that campus would be turned into a middle school. And once our middle school population there moves to the competition area for both the girls and boys. So the committee made that recommendation based on those basically the long-term savings for the district to go ahead and suck it up and put these items on the base bid at this time. And the minutes of the committee are before you. There were also one other recommendation that was that is being made to the board is the inclusion of the four rooms that are the science classrooms and labs. Those I believe are somewhere to the tune of I believe it was somewhere around $700,000 for both, including the finishing amount, not just to have the shell of the classrooms, but it'd be finished science classrooms and labs. So that was also one of the other major recommendations made by the committee. The other one was also a recommendation for football field. I believe that one, though, as all of these are going to be up to for the board to decide tonight whether we want to include them in the baseball or as alternates.
Okay.
And through the chair. Today, administration met with the pre-K leadership team, VMAC, CDA. We're all here, and we have Oscar Venegas with us tonight, as well as Carl Daniel. And we tweaked the materials that we did on Thursday, and they're all on these new blue sheets. Both the letter from me with the recommendations as well as VMAC's cost estimates. So we do encourage the board that as you consider these tonight, and they're all under agenda item number 7, that you utilize the blue sheets as you go through the discussion regarding. Thank you.
Just real quick, what I had sent out as well to the board on one of the Friday packets, what we're going to try to do is streamline the meetings by having the committee chair present within that committee. And I guess, Tony, if we can, put the minutes to that committee next to it when you provide the agenda to us, and then that way we could use that. So that way, once we go to agenda items, then we'll reference what happened at that committee and then hopefully streamline the meetings so we won't have to spend more time than we've already done. So with that, I guess that'll take us to the next item.
No,
Adam.
I have something to say about the meeting, Mr. Chair.
Okay.
During the meeting, and this is not related to the construction of the new school, during the meeting, we discussed the action with the city and the electric transmission lines running through, and we had asked for follow-up, which we got. And I noticed in the follow-up why this is so important to us as a school district. It's our property values, as well as, you know, we're not so much about really, I guess, the quality of life for children, but we do very much care about that. They're getting rid of the park on Art Craft, and there's no talk about a new park. You know, so you got rid of this park, where's your new park? There is no new park, but they also say here that they notified the property owners back in 2000. There weren't any property owners in 2000 there. And so I think that this is skewed, not in the best interest of our district, and I would like to ask our legal counsel if they would write the city a letter to express that we see our property values decreasing from this action, and the City Plan Commission also was against it, as noted, and I believe that if the people who lived in that neighborhood were notified, they wouldn't be happy with it either. So I would like to see our, Mr. Chair, with your approval, if what we had suggested, if our legal counsel would please write to the city and tell them our feelings about this issue and possibly, you know, looking into an alternative that could work better for everyone.
Certainly, I'd be in agreement that we do that and then take it up at the next committee meeting.
But thank
one
you.
Of the things that I saw on that, and that you pointed out, Lori, is the city seemed to have just like kind of brushed it apart and say, you know, there's, you know, they didn't even consider the commission's recommendations.
Nothing. They considered nothing.
You know, it's unfortunate. They did that certainly with the planning of the homes across from Jose Damiano Elementary, and we wrote them various letters.
Yes.
At that time, and they just dismissed it like.
And we do have, we have the only left unpainted palette in El Paso, and we want a pretty picture for our citizens, our students, everyone here. We want a good picture with parks and quality of life. I know that we do. So I would like Mr. Blanco, if you could follow up on that with the.
Sure, I'd be happy to do that. We'll need an agenda item on the next meeting. What I can do is a draft proposed letter we'll bring back at the next committee. You guys can review it. If you agree with it, then at the next board meeting, we're approved this to send it out, then we'll send it out.
Could we approve that the draft in draft form and make arrangements on that meeting?
At the committee, no, because no action.
No, not at the committee. No, this would be at a board meeting.
I'd like to present it to the committee.
Okay.
The committee wants first.
Okay, then we'll do that, and then we'll put it on the next meeting.
Okay, or you could do it through the president, possibly.
Well, we'll need action and approval from the board, actually.
Okay, as long as you follow up. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Coronado and Mr. Rodriguez.
Is that it?
Yes.
Okay. Then if we could go to the next agenda item.
Item 4 is open forum. We have two individuals.
Actually, we have
D.
D. I know D.
Sorry. Consider approval of use of school facilities from Upper Valley Spanish Christian Congregation of Jehovah's Witnesses.
And if nobody's here to present, I believe they've used it in the past. Does anybody have any comments or concerns, or is there a motion for?
Yes, sir. I would like to move to approve the request for use of school facilities from Upper Valley Spanish Christian Congregation of Jehovah's Witnesses.
I'll second
that. Okay. I have a motion and a second. If there's no discussion, hearing none, Tony, can you please pull the board?
Mr. Coronado?
Yes.
Mrs.
Gonzalez? Yes.
Mr. Medina?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Searles?
Yes.
Okay, and that will take us to the next agenda item.
Item 4 is open forum. And we have Heidi Gonzalez.
Sí, buenas noches. Mi nombre es, como lo dijo Heidi Gonzalez. La razón de que estoy aquí es por la seguridad de nuestras escuelas en el distrito de Canutillo.
My name is Heidi Gonzalez, and the reason I'm here is because of the safety of our kids.
Ayer mi hija, ¿verdad?, me contaba donde ella escuchó de unos estudiantes, ¿verdad?, compañeros, que había unos muchachitos que querían hacer lo mismo lo que pasó en ese, ¿verdad?, terrible accidente, no recuerdo el pueblo, y es algo que...
Yesterday my daughter was telling me that she overhears some students telling that, talking about that something is going to happen similar to what's happening in Connecticut.
O sea, es algo que no podemos, ¿verdad?, ignorar los comentarios que escuchamos de los estudiantes, porque nosotros no sabemos qué piensan los estudiantes de hoy en día.
That's the type of comments. We cannot ignore this type of comments because we don't know what our students are thinking right now.
Mis niños no querían ir ahora a la escuela. Ella me dijo que estaba durante aquí hasta el viernes, ¿verdad?, lo que pensaban hacer. Pues trata uno de calmarlo, ¿verdad?, pero ellos van con miedo a la escuela y eso es lo que no queremos.
My kids didn't want to come to school today, and we talked to them, but we are trying to tell them to keep them calm, but it is hard.
So en la mañana, ¿verdad?, fuimos a hablar con la principal sobre lo que habíamos escuchado, pero la razón de que a mí me gustaría, ¿verdad?, poder contar con su apoyo para que nos enviaran seguridad, ¿verdad?, de lo que se pudiera ocurrir o no.
This morning we have a conversation with the school principal, but I would like to get your support and make the school safe.
También estamos viviendo tiempos de violencia y no podemos decir que no puede pasar, porque sí puede pasar. Son pruebas, escuelas públicas y como dije, no sabemos cómo actúan, ¿verdad?, hoy en día los jóvenes.
We cannot say that this is not going to happen because the possibility of happening is there. And like I told you before, we don't know how the kids are going to be acting.
Yo recuerdo que entre el año 2000, por ahí más o menos, habían sheriff en las escuelas, tenían sus cuartos, ¿verdad?, sus oficinas, y pues hoy necesitamos de verdad el apoyo de que nuevamente ellos vengan.
I remember that by the year 2000 we have a sheriff, the presence of sheriff in each one of the schools. They may have their own room, and I need the support to bring them back.
Por seguridad de los niños y estar nosotros como madres, ¿verdad?, seguros de que estarán bajo protección de alguien. Pues es todo por el momento y les agradezco mucho que me hayan escuchado mi petición.
This request is for the safety of our kids and the safety of us as parents, and I really would like to say thank you for your time for listening to my request.
I know we can't respond back, and part of the thing is not responding back, but I would appreciate it either you or somebody from the administration get with the parents to address some of the issues and make sure that we address it promptly.
Okay.
We have been working hard on it.
Next is Rocio Nunez.
Yes, hi. Good afternoon. Basically, she pretty much mentioned everything I was going to say. I also remember when I was in high school, there was also a sheriff stationed at the school. And I'm very concerned. I didn't take my son to school yesterday because that's how hard it was for me. My son is 5 years old, so it's really affecting me. And, well, I would really like to see if you guys could help us out in regards to that, because he doesn't know, but she was telling me how her daughter's a little older, so she knows and she's afraid to show up in school. And I also think it's something that we can't just let it go, because it happened to someone where we thought it wouldn't happen, or they thought it wouldn't happen. I just would like to see if you guys could help us out. That's all. She pretty much covered everything. Thank you.
Thank you,
Ms. Brigham, if you could, and Ms. Armendariz, would you assist as well?
Yes,
okay. Tony, anybody else?
Item 5A is E-Rate Child Internet Protection Act, Cyberbullying and Technology Report. Dr. Avila, Ms. Brigham.
Antonio, if you could talk with Ms. Armendariz, with the parents, while Ms. Brigham does the presentation, I'd appreciate it. Gustavo, you might want to go through your thing.
Good evening, Board President Rodriguez, board members, and Dr. Murphy. This is part of the E-rate process that we have to present, and I'm going to have Dr. Avila start with the SIPA, and then I will jump in, okay?
Board President Rodriguez, board members, and Dr. Murphy. My name is Dr. Christopher Avila. I'm the IT coordinator, and the presentation that we're going to go over today meets our requirements as part of our E-rate application. It also meets the requirements for any other federal technology applications that we may file for here in the district. So what we want to go over really quickly and briefly today, and I'd be willing to answer any questions, is just to review CISD's measures to comply with the SIPA Act as part of the E-rate funding process, review CISD's measures to address cyberbullying, and a new addition to our E-rate requirements this year with regards to training and staff, training for staff and students. And then, as Ms. Brigham said, we'll review the technology plan briefly on a high level of what's going on currently in the district. I do need to read the following into records that we do have this. The Children Internet Protection Act, CIPA, was enacted December 21st, 2000, and requires recipients of federal technology funds to comply with certain internet filtering and policy requirements. Schools and libraries receiving funds for internet access and or internal connection services must also meet the internet safety policies of the Neighborhood Children's Internet Protection Act, also known as NCIPA, which addresses broader issues of electronic messaging, disclosure of personal information for minors, and unlawful online activities. The Protecting Children in the 21st Century Act, enacted December 10th, 2008, adds additional internet safety policy requirement covering education of minors about appropriate online behavior. So essentially here in the district, CIPA requires the adoption and enforcement of an internet safety policy covering the filtering as discussed above. For schools, the policy must also address monitoring of online activities of minors. This is to include all aspects of information and or data that's transferred from the web access to email. And CISD, in order to enforce this, utilizes an acceptable use policy signed by students every year at the beginning of the school year, and records are kept on campus as part of the library department. CISD employees also sign an employee code of conduct, and that is part of the acceptable use policy. Uh, I can just kind of briefly go over this. The provisions acceptable for E-rate recipients require five areas that we have to cover. Access by minors to through the World Wide Web, otherwise known as the Internet. Safety and security of the minors using electronic mail, chat rooms, and other forms of direct electronic communications. This includes instant messaging on Facebook, Instant Messenger, a whole number of other protocols. It also requires us to review unauthorized access or so-called hacking of unlawful other unlawful activities. And the unauthorized disclosure, use, and dissemination of personal information regarding minors. This is also applicable because of HIPAA laws and FERPA. And then also measures designed to restrict minors' access to material harmful to minors. In the district right now, we've implemented the following areas to address the five requirements. We have content filter that sits on a high level and filters all data accessible via the internet. We also have Cisco firewalls that are in place to minimize the available application of protocols such as instant messaging, prevention of hacking, and protection of information within the district. And then we also have isolated networks currently in place, separating data access based on student access, employee access, and guest access, limiting access to that data based on need. So that completes the requirement as deemed necessary by the E-rate application that we usually file. As I said before, there's a new aspect to it this year, and that has to do with regards to cyberbullying more specifically. Separate but related, and this is part of the provision of the Protecting Children in the 21st Century Act, requires that we have to train staff and children about online behavior, and we've begun to implement that on a wide scale this year. Essentially, the goal of the trainings have been to address the five areas: to understand the meaning of cyberbullying, to learn and recognize different forms of cyberbullying, to learn different strategies for dealing with cyberbullying, and learn the importance of enlisting help, not only for students, but for staff as well, of a trusted adult or supervisor when being cyberbullied. Since September, the district library staff have conducted a number of customized training sessions for students based on grade level and population as part of the district's requirements. The librarians have organized lesson plans and scheduled training by teacher and or individual student groups and or class level based on the availability of the campus schedule. All these records are kept on campus there, but we also have a copy as part of our E-rate process here in our offices that indicate the lesson plan, the students that attended the classes, and or the schedules for the teacher classrooms. Additionally, Human Resources has conducted staff training for everybody in the district as part of the cyberbullying education program. Training was conducted at the beginning of the year, and records are kept with the HR department. That does it for the E-rate requirements, and then we'll now talk about the technology plan overview that we have in place.
Okay, this is also part of the E-rate that we have to update every year. And what we did is we've added some things. The ones we added was the voice over internet, which is the telephone project we have in progress right now. The network infrastructure reconfiguration, the computer replacement cycle that we've started last year with state funds. The integrated response system, which is implemented, which has sent out 6,057 messages to parents just tonight to talk about the safety in schools. So just letting you know, it's working very well. We also do the instructional technology, which changes every year. The wireless project, which seems to be an ongoing project, it is for technology and operational, and we have different E-rate projects that are going. The voice over internet, just so you know, it's just switching. We've already done it here at central office. We haven't even had a hiccup switching to a digital phone system. The pilot site was Northwest Early College campus, and they went to it like a fish to water. They did great. Central office has been rolled over to the new system. The current system that is now at the other campuses is out of warranty and at end of life. new ShoreTel integrates the system with the network. And this project is E-rate eligible, which means the project cost was $170,000. E-rate eligible was $146,000. So the cost to the district for revamping all the phones was $23,800. So you know, that's one of the things that we have. And I just put this in because Ms. Searles likes pictures. I just put it how the, you know, the phone is connected now through the internet. Now, the one thing that some people will say, the pro and the con, is it's now that we don't have two separate systems. We don't have a PBX system. We don't have a network. And now they're all on the network. So, yes, when the network goes down, we don't have phones. However, we do have what we call our back phones. We still have some phones that are for emergency use, so we always have access to the campuses and to central office. Then the next one is the network infrastructure. I put this on the E-rate application. We've upgraded the MCs and the ICs in the schools. We've integrated the Active Directory, which is where we have all the email, which we have all our users that sign on into the network. We have continual upgrades on our hardware, our licensing. Our increased instructional traffic has been phenomenal in the past 2 years. All those programs up here that we bought, they all have to come through IT. We have to set them up. We have to get them. We have to make sure the infrastructure's robust enough to handle it. So we've been doing that. And of course, the data center upgrade is almost, it will be done when we move it in. Well, the office is able to be done during Christmas break. Computer replacement, this is what I'm talking about, and we had to put this in the E-rate because you have to show that you have sustainability. And what we're doing with this is I've created a computer replacement cycle. We're working closely with finance and curriculum. And what we're doing is we've counted every computer. And what we're doing is we're putting them into packages of which computers have to get upgraded. How we've done that is because of the new instructional technology packages that we have, there's some computers that can't run it. So what we did is we've isolated those, we placed those first so that everybody has all access to the instructional software that we have. So we've done this in a systematic method, but it's going to take 4 years to refresh them. But we have all the computers. We have access to all the ones that iStation Chief 3000, all the ones that we have purchased. We've been out there separating them, upgrading them, or replacing them so all the kids have access to that. And we did that. The first wave was this summer. That's why we're hoping no major things happen right now, because a lot of our people are taken off because they haven't had a break. So that's a computer recycle. The next one is the integrated response system, which I just told you is called School Messenger. And we purchased it in August, and it's working. And this project is E-rate reimbursed. We replaced the old outdated phone master system. I know some of you used to do the phone master system, and it would call, what about 6 calls and then?
Yeah, the old system used to make one call at a time. We had one system at each campus. Now we have an integrated system. We submit one message. It goes to a hosted server site, and they make every single call that we need to make in under 5 minutes.
And this has been implemented a couple of times. We've had, it is just unbelievable, the response, and we're getting a positive response from parents. Okay, so we've already had this in place. We have central office trained, and the public information office is handling that nicely.
Through the chair, Ms. Brayman, didn't we do a call out today about school safety?
Thank you. I was at the high school at CE today, and then I had another principal call me, and I called and I said, okay, I think we need to send a message out, a calming message. And we sent out a message on School Messenger. It was sent out in English and Spanish. And it started calling out, I think, about 3:30. I think it's completed. What it does, it's really cool. It's integrated to the Teams. So exciting. So anyway, so what it does, if your phone number, if it has one initial phone number, and then it goes to cell phone, it goes to grandma, it goes to everybody that's on that list. So instead of really making like 6,000 calls, it's probably making much more. Because it waits until, and then we get a report back. I can have a report in my hands in the morning, and I'll say, oh, look at, and then I give it back to each campus and says, we tried out of 647 kids at your campus. We had 500 people that picked up or left a message. We left a message, and we have approximately 40 kids that we did not leave a message. And then they list the name of the kids. So guess what we can do? Now we can get a hold of that parent, you know, evidently not through their phones, because we know the phones don't work, and we'll say, could you please update your phone? So now we have a much more robust emergency system for calling parents. And I'll have all that at my fingertips tomorrow morning. So it's a great program.
I'd also like to add, the great thing about this is that the data is based off of the team system. So as much data as a parent inputs and our clerks put in at the beginning of the school year, and we verify that during the year, we're able to make sure that we have correct data when we do make phone calls like the one we did today.
And we do the call-outs, and now campuses could do a call-out saying, oh, we have a winter concert. Bill Childress did that. We have a winter concert. And they got a report back that they couldn't reach 32 parents. Well, guess what they did? When the parents came in to see their little kids sing, they had a little update form and said, could you update this, please? Because we called you and we couldn't get a hold of you. And you know what it is? They had throwaway cell phones, which is fine. We said, just give us a new number. So now we have a much more robust system to get a hold of parents. So it's been a win-win. So the campuses like it. We like it because it's fast. And that is full operation. And then the instructional technology, which takes a lot of our time here, is we do the response intervention. You've heard those programs, the iStation, the Achieve 3000, AR, all those programs. Coordination with school resources and curriculum instruction division on curriculum software purchases. Chris Fiedo and I will work closely. Chris will get with Tony to make sure a purchase doesn't occur unless school resources is sitting at the table. We're integrating the software into existing infrastructure, which what I told about earlier, and we're updating the infrastructure for future needs. And that's all part of the technology plan for the E-rate.
So just to give you guys a very quick overview, I know we talked about this at the last special board meeting, currently where we stand with E-rate, and this has to do with a lot of funding that we've received here in the district. With regards to priority 14, year 14 priority 1 services, which is essentially internet access telecommunication services, the core infrastructure of what services the district. We've been reimbursed for those services for that year, and the funds have been received here in the district. That's actually helped us start funding some other technology projects that we've been doing here in the district, like School Messenger, for example. That was done with the reimbursement from year 13 funds. So year 14 funds actually we're using as part of the web hosting services that we're applying for year 16. All the ineligible products that we would not be able to apply for, we're using the reimbursement funds from year 14 to cover those costs. For year 14 priority 2, which is basic maintenance of internal connections, we have not received a notification letter, so we're still kind of hanging in the balance with regards to that. Year 15 priority 1 services are in progress right now, and year 15 priority 2 services have been denied. Our percentage was too low, and the SLD this current year, because of lack of funds and an overabundance of requests with regards to priority 2 funding, which is basic maintenance, internal connections, when you're buying switches, servers, all those type of things. There was such an overabundance that they set a cutoff rate at 88%, and we were at 86. So we just missed it, and we will not be receiving anything for that. It's not too big of a loss with regards to our end. It was just basic maintenance. Essentially, what we applied for was whenever we need assistance with our network in terms of programming or just immediate repair, and for the phone system, we just have an hourly rate that we use on an as-needed basis. We are also using some of the year 13 reimbursement funds to help cover those costs as well. With regards to year 16, which is what was approved at the special meeting a couple weeks ago. Priority one services include the internet access, telecommunications, and like I said, the new web hosting services. The ineligible portion, like I said, is funded by the year 14 reimbursement. And priority two services, as we move forward, include the basic maintenance requests for the telephone system and the network devices. It is important to point out, though, that with the changing dynamics of this district and the socioeconomic status in flux, our percentage level we're predicting is at 84% for this coming year. That is not necessarily a bad thing, but it's not a good thing right now. We feel very confident that we will continue to get funded for priority one services. Mm-hmm. Priority two services, we're not very comfortable about that.
And that's why we applaud letting hear us with, you know, let us put the contract signed last board meeting that you did. So that we can get into the queue a lot faster with the 84%, because we want to be the first one when they hit 84% to fund. Right. And that's why we were pushing for that. And so we're going to do everything on our part to make sure we get to get the money, but that's why we did it, kind of pushed you in. And thank you so much for approving those projects. Do you have any questions?
Mr. Medina?
I have two questions. First, relating to the computer replacement. I'm not too familiar with E-rate. And these are straight purchase. You're required to purchase these?
Yeah, E-rate does not allow us to use any of the application for any user devices.
It's so only infrastructure. What's in the walls?
So anything that's behind the wall.
But the purchase, instead of a lease, it doesn't allow you to lease any equipment.
No,
it's got to be straight purchase.
Well, we can't apply for any of those desktop purchases. That's not applicable to E-rate at all.
To your integrated response system,
yes.
You have a system that calls out manually, leaves voicemails, calls people, listens for tone.
Yes.
Is this system at all text capable?
Yes, it is.
Yes, it
it's
is.
It's text capable, and it's also email.
Yes, it is.
So is it something that we are going to do soon? Because I know right now it sounds like we're just doing the voice.
No, what we did is we just got this in August, and we probably went live in it in October.
We went live
in October. We're doing beautifully. What we're going to do now, we could probably start that second semester for doing the texting and for email.
Mm-hmm.
So we're about ready to go to that next phase because we have not had, we've had, it's been,
not going
ahead. We've had no problems with it, and so, but we're ready to go to that next step, and then I think that will even get a few more parents with email, and I think we'll get more parents with texting.
Yeah, in light of last week's events, I figured
absolutely, I'm so pleased that we already have this in place.
I'd like to point out, too, a lot of that also, because it's integrated to the team system, all the data has to be in the team system first, so one of the things we have discussed as we approach this summer and we get ready for school registration again, is to discuss with parents when they are registering to notify us whether it's a landline, a cell phone line, if they have an optional email they'd like to submit to us.
And the best way.
Yeah, if the data's not in the team system, there's no way we'll be able to.
Garbage in, garbage out.
Right, and so what we're going to do is we're going to just say, what's the best way? What's the best, just like people say, what's the best way to get in contact with you in that text or email? And we're going to be able to say that to parents so that we can get them in time to them. And guess what? We can do both. We can do text, and then we can do the phone call.
Thank you. Any other questions?
I have one.
Miss, go ahead.
Is there an appeal process when we get denied?
Will it get denied? Not as far as what it is.
No is no?
No.
It depends on the situation with regards to the service and what the denial letter is. So with regards to year 15 priority two services, the explanation from the schools and libraries division is essentially, we have no more money to give out. They've gone through so much of it that there's nothing left. They have made hints that they may, if they roll anything over from another year, and if there's any refunds, that they would go back and revisit numbers, but it was essentially a hard no for year 15 priority two services.
Ms. Quintana?
I just want to go back to the school messenger.
Sure.
I've worked with it for years now.
Oh, good.
And I've seen the reports. Mm-hmm. We've actually had parents call in and say, I never got a message or nobody ever called
me. Oh, don't you love it when
Well, the report, you look up the name of the student, and it'll say whether the parent answered, whether they left a voice message, or if the line has been disconnected. It gives you full detail. And it depends on the information that's in the school system.
I think it's important to get this information out, especially now with our parents.
And when you look at those reports, you can get to fixing whatever problems there is.
It's really,
and it really works.
We have
really
seen
well.
What we've seen as a byproduct of it is we've seen that our information that's in the teams as far as emergency information is much more current. And you know, and that was a byproduct I didn't expect. And that's a nice one to have.
Yeah. And it does work with the emails and it's really
any other
just on the phone calling. We receive messages on email too, so it does work through email. So it has to do with every college. So they're sending email.
Oh, they're you know they're our pilot site for everything. So we always like to. She's our guinea pig. We always like to use her.
That guinea pig is working.
Good. Thank you.
Expand.
Okay.
If you can expand.
We will. We'll be doing that right away. It's just that you know and the campus has just embraced it. Anything else?
Mr. Coronado?
How is our new PK through 8 school with respect to the E-rate and how is that going to affect us?
Christine Hernandez and I have actually sat down. We've kind of gone back and done a little bit of regressive analysis with regards to the data numbers that we've had in our mm-hmm. populations. Based on the area that we're projecting for that, we don't anticipate to have a very high percentage at all for that campus. Essentially what that means for the district, because of the way we apply for most of our services, is we lump all of it together and apply, and the SLD has a magic calculation that no one has been able to figure out, and they come up with the percentage. We can pretty much guesstimate, and I can kind of tell based on our PEAMS numbers from the previous years, mm-hmm. As to what it might be, but with regards to that new campus, it's going to come in pretty low, and that means that the district number will probably come down a couple points.
And is it because of each campus, are we prohibited because of the number of students in there, or how about using money? Or?
No, you have a couple different ways that you can apply for money. We have chosen to apply as a district because it services the entire area, whereas if we were to break it down and apply for only the campuses that we know we would be funded for, we would only be able to apply for kind of the elementary,
Davenport,
and Chilvers. None of the other campuses right now in terms of a threshold. Yeah, their threshold is just too low. They qualify, but their percentage is just much lower than what E-rate has been saying the cutoff has been for the last couple of years.
That doesn't mean we might change that practice. If especially after the new school is built, then we're going to have to sit down and determine which way is most beneficial for the district to get those dollars.
And just a suggestion that for the board to take up, I was noticing in the cyber bullying training that there's different strategies for dealing with the cyberbullying.
Yes.
Now that we've experienced some other data, I mean, call it cyber terrorism.
Yes.
Well,
absolutely.
But I think that sometime early next year, I think our board at this committee meeting, maybe we need to take a look at the again, because during the last year's questions that we submitted to the students, apparently, you know, we've had the first program in the region with respect to bullying that Dr. Murphy, great in instituting. But I think our kids are still worried about it. We saw those responses from the survey.
So you're looking at that for survey questions? Sir?
Yes.
Okay,
so
just making sure. Okay.
You know, our kids are still worried about it.
Okay.
We don't have a baseline from the prior year. But
no, we don't. But I
think what we need to seriously look at is the consequences and maybe what is it that's happening and whether or not by board policy we can change if it's a matter of the consequences aren't severe enough that it's still happening or is it still prevalent because of that.
In light of the new issues that we're seeing, I think we need to revisit those issues and have a report from administration as to what those consequences are. Has there been a recidivism rate for those individuals? And if so, then I think the board needs to set policy that we're not going to tolerate this.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Just mine, if, unless anybody else has anything. I mean, if we have that, you know, whether it's a text messaging capabilities or any other capabilities, we should try to, I know if it's training or whatever we need to do, but try to use it to its maximum potential.
With regards to the...
whether it's text messaging, emailing, whatever it may be, we need to make sure that if we have those programs in place that we actually try to use all angles so that way, you know, we're using it to its full potential.
So. We've just gotten the training, so it's just a matter of time of implementing it now, so
okay.
We can get set.
That's it. And this is just a report, right?
Yes. So.
Yes, sir.
Okay. And if there's no other questions, then Tony, if you could please take us to the next agenda.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Item 5B, 2012 Annual Highly Qualified Report, Ms. Grant.
Good evening, Board President Rodriguez, board members, and Dr. Murphy. I am very happy to announce that Bellevue ISD has met 100% highly qualified teachers.
Right.
And I have to applaud our certification specialists, Mary Alice Rios and Ms. Juana Yeles, for doing such a wonderful job in there. Do you have any questions?
Any questions? No?
I do.
Ms. Rose?
Yes.
Could you explain to me, did highly qualified teachers and the requirement for that under Nickleby, did that have anything to do with the way we classify children?
No, ma'am.
Okay.
No. Our teachers go into a classroom where they are highly qualified, suited to teach the classes that they are scheduled.
Why I'm asking you this is, it has been brought to my attention over the years that our special ed students, no, teachers, were required to become bilingual certified.
Special education teachers, that's
yes.
My knowledge, no ma'am.
And I've gotten this straight from the teachers themselves because they complained a lot. You know, why do we need this? Oh, and the reply when I got a reply back from them, they were told it was under, looks like Mr. Del Campo has the answer.
Mm-hmm. Well, what is happening here is that by state law, every teacher who provides services to bilingual education students, they need to have even a bilingual education certification or the ESL endorsement. And if you see the data, our special education population is very heavy on English learners. So that was a district initiative like 8 years ago, but in order for our teachers, and we want to have the whole faculty, I mean, kinder to 12, to be even bilingual or ESL certified, but it's a story scale. If they have EL in their classes on their roster, they need to have this type of certification.
Okay, and has nothing then to do with highly qualified?
No, ma'am. No.
Okay, thank you. That was my only question. Thank you very much.
And through the chair, I just wanted to say that this highly qualified issue 3-4 years ago was huge. We had dozens and dozens and dozens of teachers that had not met that, and now we're very easily, in just one sentence, able to say that we're 100% highly qualified. So we've come a long way, and it's part of the No Child Left Behind Act. We appreciate everyone's good work in getting that done.
Thank you, Ms. Grant.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
I'll take us to the next agenda.
Item 5C, 2012 Annual Bilingual Education Report, Mr. Del Campo.
Board President Mr. Armando Rodriguez, board members, and Dr. Damon Murphy. Based on Education Code 29.053B, I have to present this report to board members, and this report is just to the bilingual education ESL students in in our program. The first thing that I would like to share with you. The elementary level. At the elementary level, you can see we have bilingual education from kinder through fifth grade. Even pre-kinder still need to qualify if they want to be, one of the criteria is to be bilingual. So if you see kind of the elementary, we have a total of 370 students in that school. It's a little bit more than 50%. The another report, 232. Also more than half of the population of deaf students. Jose Damian, 197. Beachitras, 270. Also, Rio close to 45%. Garcia Elementary, 175. And the elementary level is 1,138 students who are LEP. At the secondary level, from 6 to 12, when we have the ESL content subject program, Canutillo Middle School, we have 119 students, Alderete 165, Canutillo High School, we have 190, Northwest, we only have 5 students, so the secondary total is 479. When we at the elementary plus the secondary, we have a total of 1,317 students. This is almost kind of like 40% of the student population in total in Canutillo. In addition to this, under Academic Language Services Department, we have the English native speakers. Those are kids who first language is English and they're in the program because they want to, the parents want for them to be bilingual by literacy by fifth grade. So Canutillo Elementary, we have 57 students, the another report, 35. Jose Damian, the number will go up to 1,105, Beatrice 48, and Garcia Elementary 97. This is a total of 342 students who are English native speakers. So when we put together the LEP students plus the English native speakers, we have a total of 1,959 students in our building. I don't know if somebody has questions.
Any questions?
No. Something very important to notice is if we go back to the.
I thought it was finished.
I have questions.
If you see the numbers in 11 and 12th grade, it's only 34 plus 15 students. So if we start with 1,138 at the elementary level, and then by 11th and 12th grade, we only have like 50 students is because we are reducing the number. We're exiting a lot of students through the whole process. So that's a good indication of how we implement the program in Canutillo. And in addition to this, I would like to mention that secondary levels, especially secondary levels, we have like an average of 20 newcomers every year.
Yes.
They're coming from Mexico with no English proficiency at all, so it's a new challenge every year to address their linguistic and academic needs.
No
and I would like to say thank you for your support.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much.
I'll take us to the next agenda.
Item 6 is the consent agenda, and administration recommends approval as presented.
Is there any items that need to be taken out before I ask for a motion?
I would just like to point out on acceptance of donations, it's over $7,000 of donations, many of them to the elementary campuses by individuals, and I just think we need to stop and thank these individuals, mm-hmm. including Judge Garcia. It was just overwhelmingly generous. Thank you. That's it.
You donated
$1,000
for the coats.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can we do a formal letter from the board, like for donations, thanking him?
You ought to do like something nice. He's such a supporter of our children every year doing this. A little proclamation, he's a friend of the kids or something.
You know what I want to do? You know how we had the board recognition? What I would like to have is like a board nomination, and then we recognize the different individuals from our own community. So that would be something we could start next year, if that's okay with the board. Okay. And so is there any items that want to be taken out of consent agenda? And if not, can I get a motion to approve the consent agenda?
I'll move, Mr. Chair, to approve. Nobody in the board wants to have any items pulled. I'll move to approve the consent agenda as presented.
I'll second the motion.
I have a motion and a second. Excuse me, to approve the consent agenda. If there's no questions or comments, then we could pull the board.
Mr. Coronado?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mr. Medina?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Searles?
Yes.
Item 7A, discussion and possible action to approve alternatives or options reviewed with VNAC Incorporated from the December 10th memorandum and committee meeting related to the pre-K-8 campus project to include items within the base bid and or to approve a list of alternatives.
And also, Tony, looking at the agenda, we had created this language so that way we would be able to delete B and C. So if we could delete those two. And what I would like to add also is item D, so that way we could discuss that and have our architect as well come up so we can. Not D, just leave that.
If you want to collapse B and C into one item a day, that's fine.
Yeah.
But I think Tony just separate.
Well, we might recommend that you read items 7A through C so that we could discuss those together.
Well, where 7A handles, it's being able to collapse those items. And that's why on the memorandum, that's where we had put it to be included with the agenda, and it was included. And so we're able to address all those issues at once.
With A.
With A.
All right, good evening, President Rodriguez, members of the board, Dr. Murphy. On December 11th, the Facilities and Finance Subcommittee convened to discuss the priorities for the new 3K-8. As a result of that meeting, two documents were issued, now with a more updated one. So if I could direct you, one of those is the base bid and list of alternates provided by BNF. The other one of those is the memo, which was provided by Dr. Murphy, which was now updated to be the blue items. To facilitate the conversation, I wanted to go through the recommendations first before moving to the agenda items. Please note that the recommendations are actually verbatim, in a way, the results of the subcommittee decision. They're the meeting minutes, basically. Consolidation of what was discussed that night. Having collapsed those items, 7A through C, we wanted to run through the recommendations. Recommendation one, to give you a is the inclusion of
all... This is on page two of your blue sheets.
Right, this is on page two. Items 7A through C discuss recommendations 1 through 5, and recommendation 6 is 7D. Item 7A is to include all of these itemized, the items that were on the list of alternates, basically 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 27, 28B, 31A and or 31A and B. And basically this recommendation is just saying all of these are a priority and we want to continue to have them in the discussion. Recommendation two, as a result of the discussion in the subcommittee meeting, the original list had 32 items. Item 33 and item 34 were added. Item 33 was the recap of the utility requirements for the football field lights and the scoreboard. And 34 was the larger middle school cafeteria with a stage with an upgraded floor but not a wood floor. So recommendation two says, yes, we want 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 27, 28B, 31A, 31B, 33, and 34 to remain in the discussion. Is there any questions so far?
Just go over the...
So recommendation three, here there was a bit of discussion back and forth, so here we just wanted to confirm that the direction was the deletion of the kill in the slide. Okay. And then recommendation 4 and 5 discuss the base bid versus alternate combination. So before we go into the two separate recommendations, which Carl Daniel was in agreement with and was kind of the discussion of the meeting. Thank you. What was decided to be put recommendation 4 is everything that goes in the base bid. And basically these are things that would be structural, things that would be difficult to include later on in the project. And they included 1, 31A and or B, 34, and 28B. 34 being the larger gym with bleachers, which we could not go back and add, of course. 31A or 31A and B being the roughing or the rough-in and the finish. And item 1 being the rough-in of the science labs. And that leads us to recommendation 5. Recommendation 5 just lists all of the others, which we know are a high priority for the board, which we know we want to do, which we'll make every effort to include, but to remain as alternates to give us flexibility at the time of bidding. And those are 2, 3, 4, 5, 27, and 33. And items 7A through 7C of the agenda are basically discussing recommendations 1 through 5. With that, if I could go to the board agenda, item 7A, item 7A, basically.
Jennifer, I think what the president is saying is that 7A should cover all of those.
Okay.
Yeah, so go over all the alternates, what was discussed, and then I'm going to ask the committee if that's the recommendations and then see if there's any questions or if they want to address any issue in particular.
And then you would just move forward with the recommendations 1 through 5.
Correct. Jennifer, I think you need to go to page 3 of the blue sheets because that's where the money is that everybody's concerned about.
So page 3 of the blue agenda, the blue memo, if all above recommendations are approved, the base bid price, including general conditions, will be set at 21,426,217. Subtracting an approximately $500,000 for kitchen equipment, which will be paid out of other funds, equals a base bid of 29,26,277. Adding all of the alternates, including recommendations 1 through 5, will add 1,357,591. This would place the cost of the school, brick, mortar, site work, and general conditions only at 22,283,868. And you can see the cost there of the base bid plus the alternates equaling the 22 number. However, if alternates 31A and 31B are omitted for extra classrooms from the base bid, a savings is realized of $339,480. This would make the total 20,587,797. And if alternate 34 is omitted, the larger middle school cafeteria gym from the base bid is savings of $220,068. Omitting 31A, 31B, and 34 will take the base bid to 23,66,729. Adding the alternates of 1,357,591 would place the cost of the school, that's brick and mortar, site work, and general conditions at 21,724,320.
So you can see the difference that if you go for the full Monty everything, it's 22,28. And if you omit the larger cafeteria and the 4 classrooms, it's 21,7. So it's basically $500,000 difference.
So those are the two options. What was the committee's recommendation, Mr. Cornell?
The committee recommended that for sure we put into the base bid the cafeteria gym expansion with the stage added to that. So that both of the cafeterias would have a stage and one of the cafeterias and one of the middle school side.
That's 34. That's alternate 34, 30, correct?
Correct.
So would have the expanded gym with seating.
So if you look at recommendation 4, and one of the points that was on the agenda was recommendation 4, alternate 1, which is the shell of the classrooms and sign lab, okay, 34, which is the gym, larger gym with the bleachers. But then one of the questions in the decisions for tonight was whether to choose 31A or 31A and B. In other words, do we want to just shell the classrooms, or do we want to shell them and finish them out?
Or do we want to do them at all?
Or do you want to do them at all?
I have a question.
That part, Mr. Chair, the committee did not give a resolution because we felt we needed a little more information with respect to the cost, and could we just do 2 of the rooms instead of having to do 4
right.
rooms? And that question was left to be resolved for tonight. But with respect to the science classrooms, which was alternate one and two, those I think the committee wanted to place in.
That's correct.
In the base bid. That's a recommendation from the committee.
Well, they have the shell in the base bid and the finish in the alternate. In other words, for sure they want to shell them, and maybe that's an option they want to consider for the classrooms as well, to keep both of the shells in the base bids and both of the finish
shells. We shelled out before, we didn't finish out the other four classrooms. I think that's what we're
right. And recommendation four.
Recommendation the second four.
The second, that's right.
And recommendations four, you are saying you want to include.
Just real quick, I guess, let's see Laurie real quick and then.
I have a couple of questions. Was the original budget $18 million?
Yes, that's correct. In the contract, it says 18.
Okay. If those four classrooms were extra, yes. Those were not in the original plans whatsoever. So if I'm reading correctly, those four classrooms built out, everything done to them would be the $339,480.
Well,
on page two, on
that is correct.
Recommendation one,
paragraph two, the second line.
Okay, is that
yes?
Everybody agrees with that. So, I think what my question would be. That was an add-on. That was not our original design drawing. The bigger gym is an add-on, so to speak. The larger cafeteria add-on, you know, there. It's, I guess what I'm asking for is a different way of looking at this. If $18 million was our original bid, we've had a few add-ons.
Yes.
Can you come up with a number instead of this number that's on here? And maybe I'm just an idiot and can't figure it out. But when I see base bid of $20,926,000, base bid of $20,336,000, we never made the $18 million, which was our original.
Right. So if you strip it down bare bones before, you know, the subcommittee convened and identified these priorities of the shopping list.
Yes.
The bottom number, correct me if I'm wrong here, Oscar, was
19,19.
So we never made our budget.
No, the closest we came was 19,19.
Okay, so we were $1 million over the budget, win, lose, or draw?
Yeah.
At the start of the meeting, that's where we were.
Okay, which is reflected on?
On the very top.
This page, yes, from the original?
Right here at the very top, 19,192.
I don't think I have that paper.
On the blue sheet that we gave you tonight, uh-huh, it's in the top right hand corner.
Okay.
So, technically, okay, if you include the general conditions, it's 19.8 minus the $500,000 for the kitchen equipment, so it's 19.3.
Okay.
And that's the rock bottom number.
Okay, so that is our.
That's bare bones.
That's the base. That's nothing else included.
Okay.
And then to upgrade what we talked about at the committee, we're looking at either 21,724 or 22,283.
Correct.
And 22,283 is going to be with those classrooms built out.
Yes, ma'am. It's with everything.
You get everything.
Well, both of those, the 20 alternates.
Yes, everything.
Okay. And is there no, I mean, was there any reason we could make the $18 million?
Is there any reason?
If you, or I don't, if I might, real quick. Doc, I remember Sergio asking at one of the meetings when we first started, that you asked the administration how much it was, the total budget, and they said 21 something.
Yeah, it was very high, and then you pared it down.
Hold on.
And the pare down got to 19 million.
That may have included the line purchase that was part of that.
Yeah, but I guess that's where the miscommunication came out.
I understand.
Do you remember that meeting?
The 18 plus the 2 million for the line.
Okay.
That That's the okay. difference between the project and the construction cost. There's still the architect, the permits, the test.
Yes, and that is not included or is no. included in the 22?
It's not included.
Is
this
not
is just
included.
Three things. This is just your brick and mortar, site work, and general conditions.
But the question that Sergio had asked was the base.
What our budget was for just the brick and mortar and all that.
And that's the number that was given was 21 at that time.
And it's on...
It's now...
Yeah, it's already... No,
Mr. Gatlin, can you get my brown book out of my silver inbox on my desk? Because I think you're right, Mondo.
Yeah.
I think you're right.
I mean, it's already, what we need to find out then, I guess, is what's the committee's recommendations, so that way we could,
right.
And if any board member, either.
Mr. Venegas pointed out that if you go to the second page of the document that Lena provided, right here where you see the 23, and it includes the list of the other items that I mentioned, which is basically just to get you into the building, no effort from you, that number that says 23 was the one that was formerly 21.
So it's 23 drive-away price?
Depending no. on what you select.
But if we select, that's the high grade we've got with all the options, we drive away for 23?
With everything, right?
With everybody yeah. paid? And
if this number, what you should show in the blue sheet, is you have to get this number, the one at the bottom that shows 2913.
Yes.
It's a drive away at 23 if the number that you show in the blue is 293 or below.
Okay. But when you then add this over here and it ups that 2913 to 22283, then the 23 will go up.
Right, so in other words, in order to have a drive-away cost of 23,
yep.
on the blue sheet,
I understand.
You take base bid A or base bid B, but not the alternates.
Okay. That's all. Thank you.
Okay. Then I guess can we go with the first committee's recommendation where the committee agreed and see if anybody wants to either disagree with those recommendations, but at least we could approve that and then look at, I guess the question that we have is alternate 31A and B and see what is it that we want to do.
And through the chair, you are exactly correct. In the original document, $21 million is the stated price for the new school, right? From the bond. So you're correct.
Go ahead.
As
I remember in our discussions in the committee, we were going through the science labs, the shell and the finish. Where it's part of the base.
Right.
The ceramic tile,
right.
part of the base. The four classrooms, the shell.
On the corridors.
Yes, on the corridors. Mm-hmm. The four classrooms, shell and finish, were included in the base, as well as the cafetorium expansion to a full gym. Those were part of the base, those one, two, three, six items. And that is part of, out of the 10. The ones that were put on an alternate were the concession stand, the bleachers, the football field, and the football roughing out of lights. That all the football-related items were put as alternates on top of the base bid. And just those alone is 20,631. And I think that's what we had come up to kind of a consensus in that committee, was that all the football-related, anything, we put that as an alternate. We could do that later.
Correct, and that's right. in a recommendation
so
five.
So that's a recommendation five. That's 2, 3, 4, and 5, 1, 7, and 33, which is the football lighting roughing.
No, 2 is the science lab finish.
Oh, yes.
Right.
Yeah, it's 3, 4, 5, and 33 as alternates. 1, 2, 27, 31, the A, 31, B, and 34 are base.
And the committee did recommend that the finish out be included in the base.
Correct, on both the classrooms and the science labs.
So that's the one change. Okay.
That's
so
right.
Recommendation 4 would be 1, 2, 31A, 31B, 28B, and 34. And recommendation 5 would be 3, 4, 5, and 33.
Okay, so that was the committee's recommendation, correct?
Yes.
So
okay.
Does that mean
it was not 28, though.
No. Well, 28B goes together with 31A and B.
No, 28B goes with either number 1 or number 2. It has to
yes.
do with the science labs.
Correct. It just has to do with the finish.
Garnet came in today and he said, guys, we forgot one thing. We've got to add 28D. If you're going to do number one and number two, you've got to have 28B because it has to do with the walls and the structure.
So that's 8,000.
Yes.
Okay.
Correct.
So let's go ahead and add the 28B. Mm-hmm.
So recommendation
8,071.
1, 2, 28B, 31A, 31B, and 34. Correct?
1, 2,
28B.
27, 28B, 31A, 31B, and 34.
Okay.
And yes, alternates.
That's all base, right?
Yeah. That's all base.
That's all base.
And the others are alternates.
Alternates is 3.
Four, five,
and 33.
Correct.
That's
okay.
That was the
record.
Okay.
And
so
the other issue that our and that's I guess maybe we can involve our architect at some point is the two classrooms apart from the four classrooms of the science that the committee recommended. We really didn't finish a recommendation on the other classrooms, which was
31A and 31B. Okay, so I want to just get the committee's recommendation that was consensus, and if anybody has any objection to that, we could discuss it at this point. If not, can I get a motion to actually go with the committee's recommendation, and then we'll discuss 31A and B.
Would you like me to read it,
Wanda? Yes. Yeah.
I think also before you do that, include the removal of the kiln from the kiln room, turn it into a storage room, and the slide removal entirely.
I'll read that entirely.
Thank you.
And that's got to have some savings, yes?
Yes, it does.
Okay. It's about a $10,000 savings.
Pay for that too.
So the motion would be to put in the base bid items 1, 2, 27, 28B, 31A, 31B, and 34, and to include as alternates items 3, 4, 5, and 33, and for the deletion of the kiln into a storage room and the deletion of the slide. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, so is there a motion to approve those recommendations?
President, can I just have a second here? I just want to make sure. So what she has just read is a full finish out of the four classrooms.
That is correct.
Okay.
As a base bid.
As a base bid, and the larger cafeteria with the stage and the upgraded floor. Okay. Thank you.
What would that increase it to? You guys have your number.
You know, you might consider items 2 and 31B. In other words, the two finish outs. Be placed as alternates to give you a little bit more flexibility. It would be easy to come back and include them.
I think the finish out on 31B is only, at this point, 94.
Yeah, it's...
Okay. Let's go with the committee's recommendation. Okay. So,
could you read those again?
Sure.
20, 60,
the recommendation would be to put in the base bid items 1, 2, 27, 28B, 31A, 31B, and 34. And to include as alternates 3, 4, 5, and 33 for the deletion of the kiln into a storage room and the deletion of the slide.
I so move.
Okay. I have a motion. Can I get a second?
I'll second
it. Okay, there's a motion on the floor, and I'm not going to go through the whole motion.
Oh, come on.
But if there's any questions or anything regarding the motion, then if not, can we pull the board?
I have a question.
Go ahead.
Mr. Rodriguez, at this point, you've seen all this. Is there any other recommendation? You and Carl Daniels, that are architect, is there a concern that we need to be aware of? Last time we got ourselves into this, there was $100,000 that we could have spent and it cost us several million.
President Rodriguez, board members, and Dr. Murphy, now we're following along. The numbers are a little bit confusing, but we know what they mean. And as you probably already know, we disobeyed your stop work order and been drawing like crazy for the last 2 months. So when you decide which alternates that we're going to include as the base, we've got them drawn. When we decide which alternates will be alternates, we have those drawn also. We're pretty far along, and we've been working hand-in-hand with VMAC. So when you tell us, we'll go.
Would you like to pull up a chair, Mr. Daniels?
Yeah, the only good evening, members of the board, President Rodriguez, Dr. Murphy. This is the only thing that we have to put in the budget is to follow up with the infrastructure of the utilities that we'll work on next. Since we were on a stop work order, and the school moved 7 feet.
Some of the utility locations will have changed as a result.
7 feet.
So that's something that they're willing to work on in January.
We have that covered. That's still a very budgetary number. It's not a really hard one. The rest of the numbers, since we can scale it and figure out the heights and stuff, we're pretty sure.
Considering the motion that's up right now, is there any concern that you see with the alternates that we just placed in there?
No, I'm very happy that you went in with larger items structurally, because as we were discussing earlier, the bar joists cannot be extended. The foundation would have to be dowelled in, and it would be very difficult to make that gymnasium larger. All the things that were structural in nature, it's a good move to put them into the basement now.
Carl, with the gymnasium, now with the second cafeteria, will it have a higher ceiling?
Yes.
Since now we're going to have a practice basketball?
Yes.
With bleachers?
Yes.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Ms. Charles?
Nowhere else we can cut back anything on, you know, instead of putting ceiling tiles, leave open rafters. I mean, have we looked at every?
We are actually doing that. And these numbers, I know it's a little bit hard to find, but we actually are eliminating ceilings and corridors and doing those kind of things already. In fact, that's how we got where we
got
are.
Got broke.
Because we have been working along those lines.
So we'll continue value engineering throughout.
Absolutely. Okay. There's other things that we're going to find as we go along and get the collection a little bit closer.
Okay. Chair.
Thank you very much.
My last comment, President, is that what we've done is we have reaffirmed what the committee said. We've not taken anything out. We have left everything in that the committee recommended. The other thing we've done is we've kind of moved a couple things from the base bid to the alternate list, but yet they're still all there, everything.
Correct. Okay.
And I think we'll be able to realize some of the savings as we go through and get some of these bids. And we'll be able to put some of these other alternates that are not in the base back in.
The good thing is it's going to be designed at the same price, so might as well have it as an alternate just in case if we want to do that in the future. So
I have one other question.
Sorry about that. It's true. It's savings.
I have one more question.
Go ahead.
I always want to call you Mr. BMAT. Mr. Benekis. Mr. BMAT. You built Garcia Elementary. I was there today. It's a marvelous school. I mean, nothing could be any nicer, really. Is this school as nice as Garcia?
Can I answer that?
This school, I think, has some unique features that will even be nicer than Garcia Elementary School. You're going to have a cantilever section at the courtyard that I think is going to be very attractive and very useful as far as a teaching tool in that courtyard. But that, to me, I thought was a nice addition that Carl put in at the last juncture. Since it's a pre-K through 8, it has a lot more than Garcia in certain respects. So it's also in a very nice area, to be honest with you. They're going to have a walking trail. It's going to be along Paseo de Monte.
Are we paying for that?
No.
Thank you.
That's provided by the developer.
Thank you.
It's going to have nice views of the valley.
Well, that was my next question. Yeah. When we purchased this land, 10% of the purchase price was because of the view in the appraisal. Have we utilized our view?
Yes, I don't know if you remember the early site discussions that we did about placing the building on the site, both for sun and wind and the views, tremendous views from this site, both to the north and to the southwest. Very nice views.
And we've used those views?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Out the windows, we can see them all, and especially out the front door.
Great.
And I will let everybody know that Northern Pass has been fully opened. You now can drive by the site. Paseo del Norte still has a little ways to go, but if you go Red Road, you can go all the way past the full site of the school. I drove it yesterday. And in closing, I just want to say thank you to Carl and to Oscar and their teams. They've done a wonderful job, And this is a landmark meeting that now gives them the direction to fully move forward to the next full stage. And thank you, Board, for the consideration.
Can we pull the board?
Mr. Cuervo?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mr. Medina?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
With excitement, yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Searles?
Yes.
Just real quick on the same item, we have 31A and 31B. What are we going to want to do with that? The committee's recommendation or what? Is that the final item that we need to look at?
I think, sir, you already approved it.
We approved
it. We did?
Yeah.
As a base bid?
Yeah.
Okay. So then we're good to go, right? Nothing else?
And we will write a full summary of these agenda items and get out to everyone so everybody knows exactly where we stand.
Okay.
And to the CBAC committee?
Correct.
And that'll take us to the next item real quick then.
7D is discussion and possible action to authorize Carl Adam Architects to resume work related to the design development process of the pre-K 8 campus project.
Do I have a motion?
Well, I think that the stock report has been very beneficial on behalf of the Board of Trustees. I think it served its purpose, and it's looked through a lot of thoughtful conversations. And as Carl Dana pointed out, a lot of work has been done in this no-work phase. And so because of that, administration recommends a plan of action associated with that. So we just wanted to let you know a little bit about what the future plans were. We want CDA to be authorized to proceed through 100% design development. And at January 16th, Facilities and Finance Subcommittee meeting, we would like them to present a draft of their 100% design development, like where they're at that time. I think at that time, the board would also be entitled to see a presentation of the exterior rendering and the exterior finishes before they move on to construction documents, together with the same finished presentation for the interiors, your typical classroom, your library, your common areas, before they move forward with the construction documents. At the January 22nd board meeting, then Carl Daniel would present their full final version of the design development and finishes for your approval. At that time, VMAC would move forward with pricing it, and us, the facilities department, would receive that at that same board meeting, because that's the time that they'll need up to them to finish. And so pending a few minor plan review changes, by that time we'll have a bond project manager. If he has any comments or have any minor details, we'll have like 10 business days to write them any comments. And at that, the action item at that board meeting would be to allow them, upon your approval, to move to 50% construction documents, after which we do like a checkup between all of us again. And so that was the proposal associated with the lift of the stop work order, to provide some direction.
Can you provide us a Gantt chart? In our packet, that way we could update it.
Sure. Uh-huh.
And I think we had something, but if we could update that and see where we're at so we could follow it as
right.
a board.
I do have a question.
I just
want to make sure that these presentations, although necessary, that they don't hold up the process. We really just need to get going. I know there was some concern about getting this out to bid before all the other projects are out there. I just don't want any of this to really slow down the process.
No, they're not.
No, they're not.
And in fact, because it will actually save time, that way there's no backtracking. In other words, before they move through with finalizing all the construction documents, they're like, make sure that, yes, these are the finishes, this is what we had in mind, double check, make sure we're all on the same page, yes, 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 so that they don't have to spec something or, you know, just to go back in time. So, no.
Thank you.
Mr. Cornell.
Carl, I don't remember whether you gave this that or not, or your proposed color palette for the interior and exterior of the school, or if you've done that, or if you've had alternatives for us to choose or not.
We haven't given that yet, but we will be doing that. We are working on images and ideas right now, and in the design development phase, we will of course present those to you, as Jennifer said. But they'll be finalized in the CD phase. We generally do conceptual color schemes in DD and then work through it all the way through construction documents.
Okay.
The colors are actually finalized in the CA phase when it's being built, because the submittals we get for materials are sometimes slightly different than the product. So conceptually in design development, a little more detailed and specific in construction documents, and then finalized in the CA phase.
Okay. Mr. Searles?
Yes. And, well,
And maybe in our next subcommittee meeting, there should be some talk of school colors. Somebody's bringing that to my attention.
And not to forget, I do believe in our
orange and blue.
Original agreement in closing on the land, there were guidelines set as to color, and just don't forget what palettes. Yeah.
We've had preliminary reviews with the Hunt Corporation about that, and they're pretty open to us, and we will abide by their color palettes and make them happy.
So since this usually takes like several rounds, we thought, hey, round one, subcommittee meeting, get some input. Round two, turn in with the board a few inputs so that they're like more or less on the right track during construction. And then, as Carl says, the final, but by the time they receive the submittals from the contractor, that way we're not holding them up or anything. They more or less know what we're looking for, what we had in mind, and that conversation happens faster when the construction is happening.
I would definitely say that CMS is already in certain phases with their color palette selection. In order to kind of minimize our expense when we're talking about repair maintenance, is that we start to standardize the materials, the colors, and the overall looks. Not that they all have to be the same, but at least the same paints, interior or exterior. Because I think when we have different areas, I think that's just something we need to consider.
Yeah, I agree with that.
The other thing that I would like to see as well is not just a Gantt chart on where we're going on this, but looking at the other projects that are happening around the city and where we're going to be at within those, so that way we could compare. If you could provide that to us as well, Ms. Mack.
Oscar, can you do that? You're very much in touch. You keep talking about that. Can you put together a document that shows everything we're up against, please?
Yes, I can.
Thank you.
Okay. And if there's no more discussion, can I get a motion to resume? So the motion is to authorize Carl Daniel Architects to resume work related to the design development process of the pre-K campus project. There's a motion and a second. Hearing no discussion, can we pull the board?
Mr. Cornell?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mr. Medina?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Stark?
Yes.
And I guess get going. We need to.
Yeah,
we will.
Thank you.
And board, I would remind you there is board policy regarding school colors. Thank you all. Look at that.
Thank you very much.
Jennifer, Oscar, and Carl, thank you.
Next item.
Item B is discussion and possible action regarding energy management services contract with Johnson Controls. Ms. Matthews.
Mr. Bailey, come on up.
For this item, we have three presenters. We have multiple presenters tonight. So we're starting with Mr. Bailey, the district-wide update and an update on the Kentio High School, both the contract and the financing portion of the contract of the project. After him, we have Mr. Blanco providing an update on the financing legal aspect, together with comments from Ms. Aguirre. And lastly, we have Ken Johnson from PSC in the audience.
Thank you, board. Thank you for the opportunity to present. As you know, the board by prior action did approve the contract for the energy services at the Cannon Hill High School. As part of that contract, it does provide having it guaranteed savings sufficient to fund the capital cost and interest component of the debt that is necessary to fund that. That was improvements to that high school facility. Just a quick update, you know, the total improvements that we're proposing there for the geothermal loop, to provide the digital controls, the lighting upgrades, water fixture, rental commissioning is a little over $1.5 million. As part of our turnkey delivery, we have solicited financing with a third-party lender, All American Investment Group, LLC. They are quite active in this market, provide very competitive rates. We were able to obtain a secure rate of 2.5% for this particular debt instrument. They will provide 100% of the capital improvements. The payment structure has been set up such that the savings that is guaranteed will totally service that debt component as it is amortized over time. The interest rate is actually locked through the 21st of this month. As you know, there's several factors that are in the marketplace right now on the political side that are having an impact on interest rates, and so we have been pushing to try and move forward to get this to ensure that the interest rate is locked. We have also, as was mentioned, we are working with the third-party review. They have issued their report to us, and we'll, I know we're going to hear some more additional information there. But we are responding to that. The purpose of this performance contract, again, is to deliver to eliminate risk to the district by guaranteeing savings, guaranteeing performance, and guaranteeing price with no change orders. And so we're excited about the opportunity to be able to discuss that financing tonight. The second part I'd like to discuss is Jennifer said, is also the phase two, kind of give you a quick update on where we are there. The initial site surveys for the 10 campuses and facilities has been completed. The HVAC equipment information has been recorded for over 900 pieces of equipment. So we have actually touched, felt, tagged over 900 pieces of equipment as part of our study. The results of the on-site survey have identified 410 evaporative coolers labeled for replacement to refrigerated DX rooftops and split system air conditioning systems. Over 800 pages of mechanical, electrical, and plumbing drawings have been studied, scanned, and recorded. We have two schools that were still missing MEP drawings, so we're recreating those. Surveys of existing electrical, structural, and building envelope systems has been completed to date. We're in the process of preparation of the preliminary budget scope documents for the HVAC and DDC controls, and we're 90% completion in that process right now. And plan to have a completed budget to bring back for discussion by the end of the calendar year. So when we return from break, we will have that information to share with you. Construction documents are also in process. We're looking at finalizing those once we come back with the discussion of scope and budget with staff. We'll finalize construction documents based upon y'all's input there. The final item that is we're doing also is energy analysis models are going to be completed on several other sample schools. And basically, we're going to go in and do energy modeling to identify the savings potential for campuses and as part of the financing component for this. And so we're very proud of where we are at this point in phase two. A lot of work has happened today, and we're moving forward.
And that is very true. Mr. Garrett Brown from Summit Engineering has been all over the district. He knows it very, very well. He's asking all kinds of questions. It's quite excellent. With that, Mr. Steve Blanco and Ms. Aguirre, I'll let you all with the financing.
President Rodriguez, members of the board, Dr. Murphy, thank you. I want to echo one thing that Mr. Bailey said, and that is the financing rate is locked in. Ms. Aguirre and I spent some time on the phone, making different phone calls today to make sure that we were in a good position regarding that rate, and we are. We both spoke to Karen Pelzer at the finance company, and she confirmed that we will close on the 21st, pending the board approval tonight. We also had lengthy discussions with our financial advisors at First Southwest regarding the structure of the deal and actually the need for us to complete it this year. The board expects, and the administration anticipates, that next year we will be